unscriptural free will decisions for Christ? What fruit are these type of people bringing forth? Charles Haddon Spurgeon rightly said, free will carries many a soul to hell, but never a soul to heaven. And when we look to the great reformer, Martin Luther, he said, free will without God's grace is not free at all, but it is the prisoner and bond slave of evil, since it cannot turn itself to good. Recently, it was reported that thousands made decisions for Christ. This coming through a well-known evangelist on his God Loves You tour, helmed by said top Christian artists. It was reported that more than 56,000 people attended the free outdoor events along Route 66 that began in Chicago and finished in Los Angeles. The evangelist who shared the gospel at nearly 200 evangelistic events worldwide quoted Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. But notice what this evangelist stated at the end of the article with reference to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Well, let me add verse 10 concerning being empowered by that grace and what it produces. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, if we are born of the Spirit of God, then we will do what the Spirit leads us to do, Romans 8:14. Free will, though, to make decisions for Christ? I can't find that in Scripture. Friends, we're hearing much of this today, but I ask, free will to do what? To make decisions for Christ? Again, we are hearing much of this from the hirelings across this country for the last how many decades? How many of these have made decisions for Christ out of their free will that have instead lived for the things of the flesh while in fact disobeying the things of the Spirit? It was in fact King David who wrote in the book of Psalms 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now, how does the carnal man choose to serve a spiritual God if we have a free will? Well, I'm here to tell you, he cannot. Paul wrote in Romans 7, verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but to how to perform that which is good, I find not." And wasn't it Jesus that recorded in John 3, 5, and 6, that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God? Then he said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, throughout Scripture, you will find that where the Lord called them, he also led them, or he would appear unto them. Remember what Charles Spurgeon rightly said. Once there was free will in paradise, and a terrible mess free will made there, for it spoiled all the paradise and turned Adam out of the garden. Free will was once in heaven, but it turned the glorious archangel out, and a third part of the stars of heaven fell into the abyss. Charles Spurgeon goes on, "I want nothing to do with free will, but I will try to see whether I have got a free will within. And if I find I have, very free will to do evil, but very poor will do to do that which is good." Friends, you cannot free will to live for Christ through making decisions to be born again without the Holy Ghost bringing you to godly repentance. As a matter of fact, I'm commanded by God to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. That's found in Philippians 2:12. But I cannot add one jot or one tittle in adding to my growth in Christ, but by the Holy Ghost through regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5 tells us, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Again, what comes to my aid is Martin Luther, the great reformer. He said, "Mankind has a free will, but it is free to milk cows and to build houses, nothing more." He's exactly right. Much of what is seen today is man-made conversions, and what is the fruit that it has brought forth? I answer with more sons and daughters of hell than ever before. Let's now go to the Great Awakening preacher, George Whitefield. Weighing out the genuine from the false man-made converts. He said, now I wait a little and see.
BBSradio.com. Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Rocker.
Friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean, folks. We're going to be talking about a topic in reflection of what I've been seeing on live chat and people's conversations, because I'm here to feed the flock. I'm not only here to tear down, but we're also here to build up, and that's what Scripture teaches us, right? We want to fillet the fish. And I'm talking about filleting the soul, because at the end of the day, friends, it's not our bodies that are going to go to heaven or hell. It's going to be our spirits, right? So we better build up our spirit as we tear down the flesh. The Bible's clear when it says, for those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its lusts and its affections. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. So we're going to be getting to that in just a couple minutes here. Before we do that, I wanted to let you know, you can call in 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. You want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. You know the drill. If not, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page. sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page. Subscribe to that page. Also go over to beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com as well, top left side of that page. And one more time, if you want to call in, 281-845-4704. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the sonsoflibertyradio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that, we have the mind of Christ here, friends. And we bear the reproach without the camp, and we get busy doing what he called us to do. And in the process of doing that, you have a whole different mindset as to the ones the worldlings carry on a 24/7 basis. So again, folks, 281-845-4704. I got much to cover. I'm trying to just kind of tiptoe into the show because I give people a little time to jump in on the show. And that's what's happening right now. That's why I usually go through the rhetorical points that I make before every given show. But I want to start. We got a lot to cover, so we need to get to it. One of the things that I did, friends, is before the show, it just dropped in me, a kill list. Because I'm noticing that, as are others, and it's not, I'm not talking about just a few, everybody knows that something's wrong. And case in point, I want to show you something because they're finding what it is that I've tried to share with the American people quite a bit concerning who's responsible for these fires taking place in California. For example, a forensic arborist has determined that nearly all the wildfires in California since the Paradise fires have been caused by direct energy weapons. Just like I said, Robert Bram has over 38 years of experience as an arborist and has spent the last 48 years studying the plant kingdom, focusing on California's native flora. He has conducted extensive field work, making 106 trips to the aftermath of 38 different wildfires, mostly in California. And according to his analysis, he determined that only three of these fires were due to natural causes. Now, I'm going back and I'm trying to say, folks, what I've reiterated to you. And this is the history people don't want to hear, but for those that are digging in and they want to hear it, it's what I make mention of and make reference to when I talk about the angel of death, Mengele, who had said, the more that we do to you, the less that you believe it's us doing it to you. I don't know what people don't understand. I mean, we're showing you films of these energy weapons, and people still want to sit back and act like it's not the said corruption that we see in front of our faces all day long that are responsible for the crimes. You all the well know what's going on. Here, case in point, folks, you see how they're modifying the weather, right? You see how they're poisoning the skies, Deuteronomy 28:24. Well, just over the last couple of days in the state of Minnesota, which has no snow or very little snow, it's interesting, it was in dangerous 33 below zero. It was dangerous outside just a couple days ago. I looked up there. They're dropping lines again, chemtrailing, poisoning the air that we breathe, friends. And in the process, I said, tomorrow it's going to be nice, folks. I'm walking around outside with shorts on today. It's 34 degrees. I mean, it's right in front of your faces. And yet people want to act like it's not them doing it. Here's another point that I want to make. These are energy weapons being directed from the United States Air Force. I've showed you in the past, friends, the fires that were started in Canada. We showed you the helicopters that were being used starting these fires. And yet somehow or another, that just can't happen in America. And yet they're telling you that they're doing it. It's on film that they're doing it. And it's one of those things that I've said before, no matter how many times they get caught with smoking gun in hand, the people actually encourage them to do it again by doing nothing about the crimes that they've been busted in. So I'm saying that for the very purpose, okay, concerning now rolling into this conversation, the pandemic as well, the crisis. You see what's happening, folks? You see how they're trying to exonerate and give a clemency or a pardon to the likes of a repeat criminal named Anthony Fauci? Don't excuse others that are a part of this, Bill Gates, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, the agencies that have been put in place. They're all responsible for the 20 million people that have been killed and murdered as well by these bioweapons. Now, I'm bringing these in correlation just to prove the point that these things are happening in front of our faces. And going back to the point that I was just making concerning a kill list right before the show, you know, lo and behold, there it is. Lord drops something in. It's like, okay, what am I looking for here? I put in kill list. Did you know that there is a kill list in America? Did you know that it was under the guise of using it for foreigners? You all know that, right? This was in 2010 by the criminal foreign sodomite Barack Hussein Obama, who's still assailing the American people today because the people have let him do that. They've encouraged him to do that by leaving off justice, Proverbs 21, verse 7. So they're getting the just recompense for their disobedience. It's called disposition matrix. This is called disposition matrix. Some will say, well, Bradley, that's way out there. Let me ask you the question. At the offset of the pandemic, how many holistic doctors mysteriously died in the hundreds instantaneously? And some will say, well, that was just by chance. You're out of your mind. And that's why I say to you at the offset of the show, it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. I want to show you some more on the other side of this concerning the kill list and how it's been activated against the people that are going after them. Okay? SonsOfLibertyRadio.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. Again, we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Caleb Collier, host of Church and State. Find us at churchandstate.media. Take it from me, you have to listen to Bradley Dean. Bradley Dean is one of the greatest theologians and patriots of our time. He is leading the charge in our modern-day revolution. Bradley doesn't pull punches and always presents what is right, not beholden to party, politics, or pulpits. I am proud to call him friend. He is truly a son of liberty.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
So that this nation may long endure, I urge you to follow in the hallowed footsteps of the great disobedience of history that freed exiles, founded Christianity, defeated tyrants, and yes, in the hands of an aroused rabble, in arms and a few great men, Charlton Heston. The brave man inattentive to his duty is worth little more to his country than the coward who deserts her in the hour of danger. President Thomas Jefferson. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 1-281-845-4704. We're talking about a kill list right now that criminal foreigner sodomite Barack Hussein Obama, which is, folks, that's all confirmed information. We knew this right off the offset. But in saying that, they created something called a disposition matrix, and it's informally known as a kill list. It's a database of information for tracking, capturing, rendering, or killing suspected enemies of the United States of America. And of course, they're going to use that and say, you know, we use that for foreigners. No, folks, we all the well know since, again, September 11th, right after that, the DHS created a domestic terror list, and it was Americans. It had nothing to do with the foreigners because you're seeing the federal and state governments alluring the illegals into America. And why is that? Because America's being dispossessed right now. She just doesn't know it yet because they're too fast following the their point man, Donald Trump, right now to their own demise, who's not working for them, but rather against them. And mark my words on what I'm telling you right now, because this is judgment as to where America is. I want you to see this. There are 8 cancer researchers who died in a plane crash in Brazil. They were investigating the links between mRNA injections and turbo cancer and wanted to publish their work. They were on their way to a press conference. Was that just by chance, or is it going back to what we know from history And going back to Mr. Mengele, or Mengele, however you want to say it. It's bold. You can say it both ways, friends. Because we know it's factual information. The more that we do to you, the less that you believe it's us doing it to you. Let me show you another guy here, friends. Dr. Bradstreet said vaccine causes autism. Of course it does. The FDA bought and paid for, raided his house, and he was even, as a matter of fact, then he was found dead in a river just 2 days later. This is going to continue on, folks. You do need to understand that there is a kill list. You do need to understand that you're dealing with a government that murders its own children, and they're doing everything in their power to make sure that they have the power to murder whosoever they will, whensoever that they want to, so nobody impedes their global order. You know, and I want to say this too, just a side note to concerning the topic of the plandemic. Again, I can just hear an answer back. I had a lady say to me the other day, she said, you know, you bring up old information. Yeah, I'm bringing up this brand new information and some old information because the problem still hasn't been dealt with. That's why I'm bringing it up. Once we finish the job in bringing justice upon the responsible party as to those that murdered over 20 million people, then we can move on to the next topic and deal with that. But not until then. Common sense does come into play. You know, it's interesting. What is the mainstream media feeding you right now? They're feeding you. Millions died suddenly. The doctors are baffled. They don't know what's going on. Sudden cancer, turbo cancer, as they call it. Doctors are baffled. Sudden strokes. The doctors are just completely baffled. Heart attacks. The doctors are baffled. So I'm showing you, friends, they're accomplices to the crime. Okay. Myocarditis. The doctors they're baffled. They just don't know why. Over the last 3.5-4 years, there's just been explosions of blood clots, and the doctors they're baffled. Barrier syndrome, Gillian syndrome, the doctors are baffled. They don't know what's going on. Neurological problems. The doctors are baffled. This is what the mainstream media is feeding you. And then what they're doing is they're getting you hooked on pharmaceutical drugs. When in fact, just rewind, in 2015, there was supposed to be an investigation into the pharmaceutical companies because we had CEOs in some of these pharmaceutical companies, namely the CDC, right? That was ahead of that. It's interesting. They were being called out. They were supposed to fall under investigation. And then lo and behold, all of a sudden the attack is on the people rather than on the corrupt and the corrupt within that are responsible for what we're talking about right now. But again, the doctors they're baffled. They're compromised immune systems. The doctors don't know why nobody's going to them anymore. They're trying to figure out why nobody trusts them anymore. Young, fit, and healthy, they just died suddenly. But the doctors, friends, they're baffled. They're talking to you like you're stupid, people. Fertility problems, the doctors, they don't know what's going on. Dead babies being injected with vaccines, bioweapons, friends, and they're just baffled. They don't know what's wrong. No matter how many times the doctors have come out that tried to warn you concerning taking their bioweapon, this is the things that they were warning you of. But a lot of people didn't want to listen because they thought that they were conspiracy theorists. Only to find out they were the ones telling you the truth. And the mainstream media, they said they didn't believe in the ones that were lying to them. Well, isn't that what you originally said? You hold the truth and unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. Bell's palsy is another one. The doctors are baffled. Can I tell you this, friends? I'm not baffled. I'm not baffled at all. I'm not as stupid as they want me to be. You can call it what you want to call it, friends, but it is the truth of the matter. They're talking down on the people like they're stupid. And now there's a new program that's on steroids so they can go ahead and do it again. Yesterday, I brought up the point that isn't it interesting that they're talking about curing turbo cancer, right? With this new program Donald Trump is promoting right now and advocating for. Well, folks, like I said to you yesterday, you gotta remember, they're the ones poisoning the air you breathe. Just go ahead and look up chemtrails. It's there. It's not hard to find. Matter of fact, just look up. That's all you really have to do. They're the ones that are poisoning the water you drink. You need to think about this. This is all under the hand of God, right? Here's another one for you. They're poisoning your food. Yesterday, I told you that over 242 different names have now been given to sugar, so they're lying to you on the labels. How come they have not been, friends, listen carefully, how come they have not been held accountable by all of these agencies that have been set up? They're not being held accountable. They're being protected in their crimes against the people by the agencies that are supposed to protect us. Is that judgment backwards? Yep. Isaiah 59:14. Is that where we're at today? Absolutely. Also Isaiah 5:20. Read that when you get a moment as well. Now it's interesting because before we get on the main topic here, I'm reading Jeremiah last night because I can hear this dude. I understand this guy. I mean, 70 years he's trying to tell the people to turn, repent. What has the Lord done unto you? This is what's going to happen to you if you do not repent for your sin. 70 years. Nobody wanted to listen to him. And then the Lord said, that's it. No more. Then the book of Lamentations, right? I brought this up before. I was reading Jeremiah 32:23, and all of a sudden it came to me. You know what? With all of what I've read throughout the Bible, all 66 books, this one right here is exactly prophetically where and why America's under judgment. Do you want to hear it? Here, I'll give it to you. And they came in and they possessed it, our forefathers did, but they obeyed, their posterity obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Neither walked they in his law, because they've been taught by the antinomians, those have no regard for moral law, God's moral law that Jesus came in to magnify, and nor did he abrogate it, Matthew 5:17. They didn't want to listen to that because they were told by the free love hippies from the 60s that are in the pulpits today that, you know what, that's the Old Testament. No, the New Testament is a fulfilling of the Old Testament, friends. Going on, Jeremiah 32:23. Neither walked they in his law. Are you tired of man's 10,000 commandments? Then get back to God's 10. We need good men in the halls of government enforcing the 10 so we can get rid of the 10,000 policies that have undermined our freedoms at every given step. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Notice they're not suggestions. Then he says, therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Is this Numbers 32:23 where America, your sin is finding you out? Oh, you better know it is, Americans. And it's love that tells you that, not hate. And that is the very reason the Lord brings judgment upon a people to bring them to godly repentance. You know, it first starts out with chastisements. And if you don't want to listen to his chastisements, then he brings judgments. And then he brings them, and then he begins to gauge them, and they get harder, and they get harder and more destructive as the days go by. And we're at the point in Leviticus 26 right now where the Lord said he's going to bring them seven times more because the people fail to hearken unto me. Americans, what you're doing is you are literally in the natural making a prey out of you and your children in front of corruption that has failed to been dealt with by the American people at every given step. And it's shameful because this is not at all what our forefathers taught us. Here, I wanted to show you something too before we take a hard break, if you don't mind. I want to get it in here before we get onto the main topic. Did you guys see, you guys all know that the January Sixers, as they're called, they were led by Donald Trump, right? They were first allured, forgive me, then they were led right to the Capitol, and then they were entrapped by these agencies and the D.C. police, only to do what? To accuse them of the crimes that the government was guilty of, right? This is one of the January Sixers that was thrown in a cubby for 5 months in isolation. This is how your government treated him.
The annual Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Our theme this year is Revival and Reverence, Returning to God, with some great speakers, including the courageous Pastor Art Pawlowski from Canada, Dr. Ted Brower, Matt Truella, Scott Shera, Pastor Butch Paw, and more. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com. This is sure to be the highlight of your year.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, We need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer was correct when he said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless people. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." President Andrew Jackson rightly stated that if the Supreme Court is the final arbiter to decide differences of right and wrong, of what the Constitution says, then we have ceased to be our own rulers, and the Supreme Court is then become our ruler. Things don't turn up in this world until somebody turns them up. President James Garfield goes on and says, "I love agitation and investigation and glory in defending unpopular truth against popular error." Abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison said, "With reasonable men I will reason, with human men I will plead, but to tyrants I will give no quarter, nor waste arguments where they will certainly be lost."
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
BBSRadio.com. Welcome back again. I just wanted to show you how your brothers that were in Washington, D.C., that were allured and then led and then entrapped for exercising their First Amendment, this is what you've allowed your representative government to do to those people. And if that's not an offense to you folks, I don't know what is. And so quit acting like you don't know who's responsible for the crimes being committed against we the people. Because it's right in front of our face, okay? They're profiting from the very things that we're going through right now. Matter of fact, yeah, I'm not going to start that. I'm just looking up and seeing some new information. I'm not going to go there. I need to get back to this. I want to talk about there's no such thing. And if people would merely take the time, for those that do know, for those that have had the opportunity and are negligent, they're derelict of duty when it comes to their time in the Word of God to know for themselves and making discernment and distinction. And I'm talking about 2 Timothy 2:15. When it comes to free will, they should all the well know that there's no such thing. Folks, what I'm doing right now and what I've been doing for the last 25 years of my life, I would have never signed up in a million years to do. Never. Why? Because I'm not qualified to do it. You can take that where you'd like to take it. I'm not qualified to do it, but I'm willing to do it. Why? Out of gratitude for what he's done for me. And in the process, what I want people to understand first and foremost is when I say that there is no such thing as free will, there isn't. And I'm going to get into that. If you want to call in, prove me opposite or prove me wrong, 281-845-4704. I say that respectfully. 281-845-4704. Mariah Woodworth Etter said some time ago, is at the turn of the century, the 19th century, she had said right at the beginning, it was like the first 100 years and then the turn of that century, she had said this. She had said, those that want to be in the pulpit, she said rightly, she said, they're called of the devil. She said, those that don't want to be in the pulpit, she said, they're called of God. Now, let me give you an example. Because back in 1992, I was asked to go on a trip to Israel with a friend and his church group. And I took him up on it. And as much as of a heathen as I was at that time, I still went. And looking back in hindsight, I have to say, and this was unbeknownst to me at the time, that I learned so much from the Lord who was sowing seeds within me during the period of my life back in 1992. Man, he had the helm then. I mean, as if to suggest the creator of heaven and earth doesn't have the helm concerning all men at all times. Well, guess what, friends? He does. Oftentimes, I've also noticed the Lord teaches lessons to those that he saves. And these lessons come before conversion. And once they are converted, they then understand why he did so in the process. And so now to point the direction as to the topic concerning free will, I want to highlight that there's too many men and too many women that are self-appointed when it comes to the work of what we see in the ministry today, okay? And no doubt about it. That's why, again, you have unconverted men and women who have no business being there, 11:34, 1 Corinthians, they have no business being there whatsoever. They're self-appointed. And the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. They're carnal men trying to teach others spiritual lessons. That's like Nicodemus doing the same thing. And the Lord even said to him, you're a master of Israel and you don't even know these things? And what was the Lord doing? He was teaching them natural lessons concerning the lesson that he was teaching them in the spirit. And Nicodemus himself didn't understand it. I'm going to get to that. Okay. So when I get back to this, I want you to understand that the men and women in the pulpits overall in America today, they have no business there. They're not called of God and being there. That is their free will that brought them there. And again, this country is filled with these self-appointed. And again, they're not called by the Lord. Read John 10:12. Well, I want to go to Israel really quick with you concerning my trip. When we got back from Israel in 1992, the tour host went around in a circle to about 30 of us who were all on that trip. And then what he did is he asked us what it is that we felt that God had called them to do in the ministry. Well, the first person answered in the affirmative what they suspected the call of God was in their life. They were guessing from their head. Okay. The second answered, then the third answered. And when it came to me, I was about the 19th person in the circle. I was the only one, literally the only one in that circle that could not answer the question. I was lost. And I didn't understand what we're talking about today. I didn't understand back then at all. How is it that that whole circle of people all knew exactly what they were going to do, and yet I was the one that was just completely baffled. I was puzzled. I was lost. It was a mystery to me. But what was weird about it is my heart felt right about being there, but my head wanted nothing to do with it. And so we see scripture again where it says the carnal mind is at enmity with the spirit, and that's exactly what was going on. Matter of fact, when I think about it, I didn't really want a whole lot to do with any of those people there anyways, because it just seemed to me that there was something off. And interestingly enough, when I look back now, all of those people that I still see out there every once in a while, it's interesting, not a one of them is serving the Lord. And yet they were the ones that had the answer to give to the tour host as to what they felt that God is calling them to do. And I'm sitting back asking the question now, where are you at? I also think about all those when I was a baby Christian that were there because they had something to teach me. And when I look out now today, friends, many of those people, I can't, they're gone. Not only are they AWOL, but they're missing in action, friends, at every given level. But yet again, they were the ones that said that they belong to the Lord. Now, about 5 years later, I found myself in full-time ministry. And I noticed, again, all those people in that circle appointing themselves in the ministry were nowhere to be found. They were back in the world, as a matter of fact. They were living for their own selfish, troubled lives because they were the ones creating their own trouble. They never truly gave themselves to the Lord. They never sought him with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, Jeremiah 29:11-13. You know, it tells us in Matthew 22:14 that many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen are those who respond to the call and which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but the will of God, John 1:13. And it's absolutely true. And I'm going to prove it to you as we keep going forward here. I want to tell you this almost every single morning. I'm studying through a lot of theologians. And I can't even say where I'm at right now while I'm studying out these theologians that I'm spitting out. You know, I'm chewing the meat and spitting out the bones. I'm not getting any bones concerning the one that I've been really taking heed to, paying careful attention to. I'm his pupil right now in the spirit and learning the things that he's talking about, because we as Christians need to go a lot further than what we think we have to do concerning what's going on in this country. One of the points that I want to bring up is the fact that, you know, a lot of times when you talk about election or predestination, isn't it interesting how people will say, oh, you're one of those people? And it's like, what do you mean you're one of those people? I mean, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is it not? Well, it wasn't Augustine that introduced election and predestination. It wasn't Zwingli. It wasn't Martin Luther. It wasn't John Calvin. And I hear that quite a bit with John Calvin. You know what? He was one of those guys. He talked much of election. Wait a second. Question for you. Where was it extracted from? Was it extracted from Peter and Paul and the apostles? Yep. Then who inspired that word? The Holy Ghost did. So if the Lord took the time to express who he is through the apostles, don't you think it would be well worth a high five back out of gratuity to study out the doctrines that he's introduced to us through the apostles? Yeah. And the prophets? Yeah. So when I look back at when people say those sorts of things like, oh, you're one of those guys, it's like, no, you don't take the time to read your Bible, because it's in the Bible and it's for Christians to dig deep to understand what he's talking about when he's talking about election and predestination. And why? Because what that defines out to be is God's will, not man's will. It is God's will. It's the sovereignty of God's grace and his choosing as to who belongs to him and who doesn't. And there's too many people in this world today that are self-appointed Christians that the Lord has not called. They are not a part of the elect. They are not a part of predestination in any sense of the word. Again, I want you to remember something, folks. That is scripture. That is not man-made nonsense. And even when we're talking about free will, even now, well, Bradley, you know, all this nonsense about free will and we don't have a free will. Well, just hang on a second. Just hold your horses, because we're just stepping into this right now, okay? God ordains men and leads them into answering the call of their ministry, not man's self-appointed will. And isn't it interesting that when you're born of the Spirit of God, you'll see them outside of the building, bearing the reproach, following the Christ, and leading the way. How much of that in this country do you see, friends? How much of that do you see? No, what you see is just the exact opposite. You see just the exact opposite, which shows you that it is man-made. Here, I like this quote, and it's absolutely spot on. You know, it's a good thing that Moses didn't take a poll before he was led out by God to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And how many times I have seen the will of man squash a prophetic vision that a church individual, a church overseer, has received from the Lord. And I'll tell you what, if he's born of the Spirit of God, he's not going to allow a board to squash the leading of the Holy Ghost. He will stand against it. He'll understand. Just like we've even been told of old, even in a movie, it was exactly right on. William Wallace, when he said, men, they don't follow titles, they follow courage. Well, America's taken on titles, and they fail to follow the leading of the Spirit through the courageous. We'll be right back. Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, "When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on."
Hello, this is Caleb Collier, host of Church and State. Find us at churchandstate.media. Take it from me, you have to listen to Bradley Dean. Bradley Dean is one of the greatest theologians and patriots of our time. He is leading the charge in our modern-day revolution. Bradley doesn't pull punches and always presents what is right, not beholden to party, politics, or pulpits. I am proud to call him friend. He is truly a son of liberty.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747 and start making a difference in your world today.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
BBSRadio.com.
Social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and or before it's news.com, top left side of the page. If you want to call in, please do 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. Talking about free will, man's free will, the way that it's thrown out there is free will. There's no such thing. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was right when he said that free will carries many a soul to hell, but never a soul to heaven. Right. Why? Because flesh cannot inherit. Right? That which is spiritual. No, read 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter. It's fantastic. Free will is one of those things that I often hear about since making entrance into the American church. And we can see this with those that said, that have made said decisions that men make in giving their lives over to Jesus, as they say. And we can see the truth of it by what's in their hearts when their actions, as we can all see, speak a lot louder than their words. Hey, folks, you're going to act like your parents. If the Lord says in Luke 7:35, and you're born of the Spirit, he told the parents to raise up their children, right? Well, we're raised up by the Holy Ghost, and guess who we're going to act like? Just like our big brother, the captain of our salvation, because he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And day by day, week by week, and month by month, and year by year, we're going to grow up into him who's as we are complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. Okay, we're growing in the Spirit and in the knowledge of him, right? 2 Peter 3:18. Read that when you get a moment as well. We can see the truth of it by what's in their hearts when we see their actions, as we can see all, again, by what they do, because what they do speaks louder than what they say on so many different fronts. How many of these that have made decisions for Christ, right? Goodwillers, right? Do-gooders that made a decision to serve Jesus Christ out of their own free will, but have instead lived for the things of the flesh while disobeying the Spirit of which they claim to be born. I want to say this too in making distinction, and I know somebody needs to hear this. Do understand that in Matthew 4, Jesus was led out by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil. You're being told today that when you're being tempted, there are different ways of being tempted. But the Lord said that he went out and he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, right? In the process, that was to what? Make him strong in the Spirit of the Lord, right? Who was leading him to be tempted? Was it the devil or was it the Spirit of God? Today, you're taught just the exact opposite. Instead of making you stronger in the things of the Spirit by growing in temptations, trials, and tribulations, they tell you that's the devil. Well, if it is the devil, that's his worst mistake, because the last thing he wants you to do is go to the cross. Where is the cross and why the cross? Why is he afraid of the cross? That's why he keeps you entertained. He keeps you away from the cross because the cross is the power of God unto salvation that destroys his power over your life. He does not want you to grow strong in the things of the Spirit of God. Again, I would remind everybody that you're hearing today, it's the devil this and it's the devil that and it's the devil this. First off, he's a defeated foe, number one. Number two is the Lord gave us power over all the works of the devil in Luke 10:19. So if he wants to make us stronger, then let him make us stronger. But that's not who's doing it. The Lord is. I mean, we can see it over and over and over again. And we grow in grace. Hey, folks, growth in grace is not a putting off. It's a death to self. D.L. Moody was right when he said, if the Bible doesn't teach you to die to yourself, it teaches absolutely nothing. He was spot on. Spot on. That's all the Bible teaches. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Right? You're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but I live. Right? For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain, right? John said, that was Philippians 2, going over to John 3. What did John the Baptist say? I must decrease that he might increase. Romans 8:14, the scripture right before, what does it say? That we mortify the deeds of the flesh by being obedient to the Spirit, right? Read Romans 6, 7, and 8. It's fantastic. That's all the Bible teaches us. Christianity is 100% spiritual. And that spirit, what does it want to rid itself of? The flesh, the deeds of the flesh. We're supposed to put off the old man. Furthermore, how many of you out there call yourself new creations in Christ Jesus? Well, let's finish that. All things old have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. To he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, because it is in contrast, direct contrast with what you're being taught from so many people in the American church today. If they even go there. If they even go there. No wonder why we got so many weaklings in the professed church in America today. Because it's not Christianity. It lacks it. Do you guys remember, I was just giving you a quote from William Wallace, who was a Christian man. A movie was made about him called Braveheart. He was really a Scotland prophet is what he was. And what's interesting is he said to Robert the Bruce, in that movie back in the 90s, he said to them, men follow courage, right? Not titles. Today, men follow titles, not courage. And that was the point that I was making during the last segment, and it was important that I did. Now, why am I saying that? Because, friends, it's where we're at today. The Spirit of God is leading us to trust in the Lord. It was Spurgeon again that rightly said, the Lord's looking for those that will go out into the deep waters, for men whose backs are up against the wall. Only Spirit-led men will ever do that. And what you're doing is the Lord is leading you for a Kairos Chronos moment where the Lord meets you to show himself strong in fulfilling the covenant in Christ that he promised to bestow upon us. He's not a man that he should lie. My goodness, folks, we got to wake up to what's going on here. We're talking about free will, okay? Martin Luther said, free will without God's grace is not free at all, but it is the permanence to live through from one growing season to the next. It is a prisoner and a bond slave of evil, since it cannot hurt itself to good. You know, oftentimes I'll see people that they're in a fight, okay? And when I say that, I remember when I first got into ministry and I was in New York, and I remember hearing a lady say this, and I understood what she said. I really did. I do more so now. She said, I don't want to live by faith anymore. We walk by faith, not by sight. She said, I don't want to live by faith anymore. And I thought about that and I thought, man, and I was a baby Christian at that time. And I said, I don't understand what she's saying at all. We want to step out and we want to trust the Lord. And the only way we're going to meet the Lord is when we step out and trust him where man can't make it happen. Hey, folks, our extremity is God's opportunity. As long as we know that we're being led by the Spirit of God. I also want to tell you another point that a man and a characteristic of someone that's born in the Spirit of God, and I can say it from experience, and that's all we talk about here anyways. When I started doing high school assemblies, I didn't know that I couldn't do it. And therefore, I got the job done. Do you understand? I didn't know that I couldn't do it. And as a matter of fact, if 365 more public high schools opened up for me, I'd do it all over again. Why? Because I trust the Lord. I see his faithfulness. I've done business with him, speaking man's vernacular. He upholds us with the right hand of his righteousness. Oh, I can tell you right now, I remember, and I know I'm talking to someone, and I just want to give it to you. There's some people out there right now. You have a ministry, and you have done everything in your power to avoid the call that God has had in your life. And it does, and it will get to the point where the Lord's just going to look at you, and he's going to say, okay, you didn't want to be faithful with what I gave you because you want to bury that gift. What's going to happen on Judgment Day? He's going to say to you and call you a wicked servant, and he's going to cast you into the hell that you deserve. You need to understand those gifts are precious, and they are blood-bought, and you know exactly who you are, and you need to step up. As a matter of fact, what you have around you right now is you have your own self-inflicted problems. A lot of those problems would go away when you started serving the Lord. You'd have different problems, but now you're on his economy and not on your own. That's going to set you free. That's going to set you free. Is it hard living by faith? Is it hard trusting the Lord? Yeah, sometimes it really is, especially when you didn't have a dad, right? But we're talking about free will here. I am not here by free will. I am here by his will. Free will without God's grace is not free at all. But it is a prisoner and a bondslave of all. I was going to say about that woman that said that. She was, she's frustrated. She was frustrating the grace of God. And I've done it 1,000 times. I'm just as guilty as she is. But I do want to say this. She is as...
It's a strong old tree.
We're going to keep going here.
Yeah.
Keep going. Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Sons of Liberty Media.com. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. We'll talk to you in 23. See ya. Okay, now we're off air. I was going to say, this woman, the way that you can make distinction between someone that's born of the Spirit of God in many cases and those that aren't, is it's like looking at a freeborn. I look at the Lord as a father to a son. I don't look at him as a slave master. When someone that's in the flesh and they're trying to live out the will of God in the flesh, it's almost like they're doing it by force, the will of the flesh. And they're men most miserable. And what's also important for you all to understand is this. It's like a slave taking care of the field of her slave master. Does she do that because she's doing that and she's free in Christ even as a slave, the way that the Bible talks about it? Or is she doing that begrudgingly? There's a big difference. If you serve the Lord, the only place that you're ever going to find your life is serving your master. And the Bible says that we went from him calling us, not servants, but he calls us his friends. And the Bible also talks about the adoption of the Spirit where we become sons and daughters. Okay? There again is a big difference. My life is found in him. And we're talking about free will right now. And I want to kick off some more quotes for you while we're talking about it. It looks like Don in Texas is still up for you if you'd like to call in. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. King David wrote in the book of Psalms, he said, I was shapen in iniquity. That's lawlessness. And in sin did my mother conceive me. In Psalm 51 verse 5. So again, how does the carnal man choose to serve a spiritual God? He can't. He can't. So when men talk of free will, they have no idea what they're talking about. Paul wrote in 7:18 of Romans, he said, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good? He said, I can't find it. That's right. Jesus said in 3:5-6, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Folks, throughout Scripture, you'll find where the Lord called them. He also empowered them and then led them, and he would appear unto them, and he would show himself strong on their behalf. When I hear people say, he doesn't answer my prayers. Isn't that amazing? They would say that the Lord that they say, that they serve, doesn't hear them. Is God lying to his children, or are they cursed children? Speaking of free will. You know, when I wrote a book some time ago, I remember I kept coming back to this same circle of trying to understand something that I didn't, because I'm always trying to equate it to me, because until I have it, I can't give it, right? And I'm going over to Romans 9:15 really quick, because I want you to see this. What does it say? And let me go back for a moment, if you don't mind. When I was having an issue with coming back to this over and over and over again, it's like, well, then how can man know that he's born of the Spirit? How can man know that he belongs to the Lord? And I called up my friend out in California. You all know who he is. And I said to him, I said, Ray, I'm stuck on something, man. And he said, what's that? I said, well, then where is the confirmation outside of to those that have the Son have life? And then knowing that man is in no position scripturally in any sense of the word, is he in any position to tell another man that he's saved? Only the Spirit of God can do that. But yet we hear carnal men say, oh, you're going to heaven because you said the prayer, and you see him live like the devil. And I said to him, what am I missing here? He said, well, I can't answer this. He said, but if you go to Romans 9:15, you'll understand more. For he saith, the Lord, to Moses, for I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Is it true? Yep. What does it go back to? It goes back to those, oh, you're one of those guys again, of election and predestination. The sovereignty of God's call is whom he calls. And it's not for man to pick him to say, I am serving him now, and I am a child of God. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. And they brought judgment upon their heads. And the Lord woed them over and over and over again. Hey, I know that some might be saying right now, Bradley, you know what? It's almost like you're pushing us out. I remember one time in answering that, I remember when I first got saved, that's all I wanted was the things of God, and I still do. It's just grown more and more and more and more. And I remember calling him up my pastor. He's a very prophetic dude. And I still talk to him today. And I said to him, I got a question for you. He said, what's that? I said, I need to, can I sit down and just spend some time with you? And he opened the doors and I walked through the doors. And the first thing he said to me is he said, Bradley, he goes, I want to tell you, he goes, the only people that I give my time to are those that press into me. And you know, it's interesting. The Bible says that we are to press into the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, oftentimes you're going to find yourself saying to yourself, wait a second. There's something that's happening here that's not by my will. There's something moving me and leading here, not by mine own strength. I feel convicted of my sin, righteousness, and judgment, and I feel that I need to get to the Lord one way or another. As a matter of fact, there is a story told of a guru who was baptizing kids, and it's just the parable is all it is. And there was one young man that went out there, and while he was out there, this guru, he was baptizing kids, but this one particular kid, he treated differently. And what he did is he took him and he dunked his head under the water. And the kid started to freak out a little bit because about the time that he wanted to come up and get some oxygen, he couldn't get any oxygen because every time he moved to go forward to stick his head out of the water so he wouldn't drown, he said that he felt the guru's hand clamp down harder and harder to keep him down. And it got to the point where the kid got really the best way to say it was frantic. He thought he was drowning him. And what's interesting to note is the guru, when the kid burst through the water, he looked at him and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing to me?" The kid asked the guru. And the guru said to him, "When you break forth into the things of God, the way that you meant to break forth out of the water that you might live," he said, "only then will you find it." It's exactly right. He's exactly right. And guess what, friends? You don't stop until you get there. That's the Holy Ghost. You don't stop until you receive everything that he promises to give you. That, my friends, is the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. And you know what? That's a blessed place to be. That's not a place where it's a curse at all. You'll find that ministry when you're in it. It is bittersweet and there is no in between. It's absolutely amazing to me. It really truly is. Listen to Spurgeon again talking about free will. He said, "Once there was free will in paradise and a terrible mess free will made there, for it spoiled all paradise and turned Adam out of the garden. Free will was once in heaven, but it turned the glorious archangel out, and a third part of the stars of heaven fell into the abyss. I want nothing to do with free will, but I will try to see whether I've got a free will within, and if I find that I have free will to do evil, but very poor will to do that which is good." He's exactly right. He's exactly right. Hey, folks, you know where it talks about to he who, you know, has ears to hear? And you notice how the Bible talks about in 1 John, they're of the world and they hear the voice of the world, but we're of the Spirit. And those that are of the Spirit and born of the Spirit, we can hear the voice of God. That's exactly right. There's a distinction there. I love this topic. I'm going to take Kelly from North Carolina. What say you, Kelly? I'm curious.
Well, actually, my husband and I differ on this free will. And so listening to you, maybe I'll get some more clarity on it.
Sure.
Where we kind of have that break is he feels that there's just some people that he calls to heaven or to follow him. And I think it's laid at everyone's feet, although I do believe in the elect. And that is a specific group, kind of like Jonah. You know, he's just going to keep offering up, and in Jonah's case, he knew Jonah's heart, and he knew that his rejection was not complete disobedience. It was just that he didn't want to see his people face what they were going to face, I think,
okay,
in my reading.
Okay.
But where we kind of differ is because he says with, drawing a blank now, the person who gave up Christ and ended up in Potter's Field. Why can't I think of his name?
Judas?
Thank you. Yes. that Judas was in God's will, and he didn't have a choice in
perdition,
ousting
right.
God.
Yep. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, because I mean, God would never.
Well,
want
I do know.
To
I
go
do,
against him.
I do know. I just got done telling you. I do know. When you look at Romans 9:15, it's not our call. What you say you don't believe what I'm saying, in part, but you do believe in the elect. That's a contradiction. It's his call. It's not our call. What you see the difference between God's call, which is never done by man's means, and then you see God's call, which is never done by man's means, and we see God's results. It's always done in the impossible. Even the born-again experience is a miracle within itself. But it doesn't. That doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense, Kelly. I'm lost. And I'm not trying to take down what you're saying, but I understand
no.
how to answer what you're saying. Let me say this, okay? When you look at, and I caught myself reading this in Philippians the other day, speaking of free will, okay? And I said, okay. Wait a second. So if I'm born of the Spirit of God, and I'm thinking of free will, you know, you tell me that I'm supposed to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, one that works out his own salvation with fear and trembling, and one that seeks to serve the Lord 24/7, to he who tries to lose his or save his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake, he's going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
I see the distinction between that which is born of the flesh and born of the Spirit continuously, because when it talks about that, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that is something that's given as a directive to those that are born of the Spirit. Why do I know that? Because right after that, in Philippians 2, verse 19, or 13, sorry, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to," here it is, "will, and to do of his good pleasure." He even gives me the will to do his will. And let me say it this way as well. I know I find my will when my will is his will, then I have my will, but not until then. And this is not confusing at all. It really truly is scriptural every step of the way. Can I give you another parable? Is your husband listening?
No.
Okay, well, this doesn't help then, does it? Remember Peter in John 21? Remember Peter was the guy that kept sticking both of his feet in his mouth? And remember the
yeah.
Lord said to him, once you're regenerate, you're going to go encourage the brethren. He wasn't born again yet, okay? And then what?
Right.
When you look at John 21, isn't it interesting that Jesus said, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter said, "Yes, you know that I do." Now keep in mind, the Lord already gave him revelation in John 6 because he knew that he was the Christ. So the Lord is already putting salt on his tongue to show him that he was good and that he was his master because he was the only one that picked it up. Okay? But if you go
right.
Now, if you go forward and to what Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yep." He said, "Well, feed my sheep."
Mm-hmm.
And then he said it again, "Do you mm-hmm. love me, Peter?" He said, "Yep, feed my lambs." What was he doing? This is how you know you're born of the Spirit, because this is what you're going to do. And it goes back to Matthew 4:19. When you're born again and you follow me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Guess what you want to do? Nothing but that. Let me finish it. Going back to John 21. Jesus said to Peter the third time, "Do you love me?" Peter was getting jacked. Youth talk. He was getting mad. He said, "You know that I love you, Lord." And Jesus said it again, "Feed my sheep." Mm-hmm. Then he said, "When you were young, you went whithersoever you wanted to go. But when you're old,
right.
another will gird you and take you whithersoever you don't want to go."
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And that's the Holy Spirit within you.
Oh, it is. It is. Mm-hmm. And it taps into the resources of everything that he promised us to win men. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters to the Lord, it is his heart. is the salvation of men. That's the truth of the matter. I'm not done, though. I'm going to keep going on. So hopefully we'll break it down to give you more understanding as we go forward. Because I'll go for about 15 more minutes here, but I want to give you guys some more quotes just so you can kind of get more so as to what I'm talking about. I'm just simply saying, friends, you can see who those that are self-willed because they live to their own will. And I'll tell you another thing. They limit the Holy One of Israel. They lay not the word of God to their heart. They have no desire to know the things of the Lord no more than the devil does because that's who they're living for. They're children of disobedience and the wrath of God abides upon them and you know them, here it is again, by the fruit that they bear. By the fruit that they bear. Let's go back to this. You cannot have free will to live for Christ through making a decision. Why? Because it is a work of the Spirit. Okay? To be born again without the Holy Ghost bringing you to godly repentance and imparting unto a new spiritual life is no born again experience at all. And you'll know them by the fruit that they bear in 2 Corinthians 7:10 through 11. It also tells us, Kelly, and thank you for the call, in Titus 3:5, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It all falls back on his sovereignty again and again and again and again. And then it goes on and says, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. That is not our will. That's not what we can do by the will of the flesh at all. And again, when you have that spirit and you're seeking out his will and then his will becomes your will, oh my goodness. Let me tell you a story about a guy named George Stormont. It's a short one. He wrote a book about Smith Wigglesworth. And I wanted to meet him after I read the book. And he was about 90 years old. He was still alive. And again, this is 25 years ago, right when I got saved from my sin. And what was interesting is I remember I was there and having a conversation with him, talking about Smith. And he kept saying to me, you know, I don't want to talk about Smith. I want to talk about the Lord. And I remember this, George Stormont, I got his letter up on my wall. He said, as far as back to the early 1900s, he said that he fell away from the Lord for 2 years of his life, and he started crying right in front of me. He started crying because he didn't do what the Lord commanded him to do. He was ashamed of himself. Look at professors today. They're unashamed. They're unabashed. They foam out their shame. And yet they have the audacity to call themselves the Lord's kids and they act just like the devil. Now, the point that I wanted to make was this. I said to him, he said, is there anything that you'd like me to pray about? And I said, yeah, I'd really like to pray for a wife. And I was fasting and praying for a wife during that particular time because I said back to the Lord, I don't want to get out into what I'm called to do without being married. That wouldn't be smart and it wouldn't be good for anybody. You open your, it's an appearance of evil in some ways, and it opens the doors to the enemy. And I didn't want to go down that road. And then all of a sudden I looked at him and he started praying. And then I said to him, he goes, do you have somebody in mind? And I said, I think so. And then he said this to me, he goes, it better be the desire of the Lord. He said, those are his desires that you're married. They are not your own. And if they're his desires that you're married, he's going to connect you to the one like Isaac and Rebecca. And this is what he said to me. He said, within 1 year, he said, you're going to be married. He was exactly right. 10.5 months later, I was married. And it was to the one that he wanted me to be married to. Can I say this and be quite candid about it? If I was to take a compatibility test with me and my wife, according to the world, according to the professors in the church today, I'd have never got married. I'd have never been married. I mean, we're to become one flesh. When I got married, am I right? Listen, if I wanted what I wanted according to my lust, that would have ended in divorce almost instantaneously because there was only one reason that I wanted that wife is because of what I could get for her. You know, King David said that there was a point in his life where he had no desire for his lover. All those desires, when I got married, were completely gone. Why? Because at that point in his life, the only thing he wanted was the Lord, and he was married to the right one in the process. But he didn't put her before him. Let me tell you this. You put your husband before the Lord, he'll kill him. Or your husband will be the greatest burden you've ever had in your life, said Spurgeon. You put an idol before the Lord will kill it, or it will be a burden for the rest of your life. I know people that have married other people that they felt were out of their league and it was not the Spirit of God. To this day, he put his wife before God. He did, and he's still doing it today. And what's interesting, he's going to live with the burden of that and the curse of that for the rest of his life. He will prop up his wife as an idol for the rest of his life that has now become a curse and a burden to his life. Why? Because it's what he wanted before the Lord. He didn't wait for the right one. Folks, we have to be careful. You can make a house your idol. You can make your money an idol. All that stuff, the Lord will get rid of it. And I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, it's a blessing and not a curse. And you'll sit back. I wrote an article not too long ago. And you'll sit back and you'll say, thank you, Lord, for all the no's. Thank you for all those things that you took away. Remember, it says in Matthew 6:33 that seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And then the and thens come after the Lord having your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. That is the will of God. And what will happen is you'll also succumb to the will of God and you'll joy in the Holy Ghost that the Lord loved you enough to make you wait for what it is that he wanted to put in your life. And then when he does put it in your life, talking about free will here, talking about being born of the Spirit of God, when he does put it in your life, you know what? It's always secondary to the things of God. He can take them or he can keep them. It doesn't matter. Why? Because it's secondary to the things of the living God. I can go on talking about this and on. I want to end it with this. George Whitefield was right when he said, now I wait a little, speaking to people that claim that they're the Lord's, but yet you can't see anything that bears fruit to the glory of Christ, John 15:8. He said, now I wait a little and see if people bring forth fruit. For there are many blossoms which March winds blow away that I cannot believe that they are converts till I see the fruit brought forth. You know them by their fruit. It's that simple. R.C. Sproul died back in the end of the 90s. Outstanding theologian. Exceptional. He said, we're not free to do what is right in our own eyes. We are called to do what's right in his eyes. That's right. And you'll do that with a liberated spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I'll end with this. Before touting about free will and putting your hand on God's glory, remember that Scripture teaches us, for it is God. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, not your good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. R.C. Sproul said, no human being can possibly come to Christ unless something happens that makes it possible for him to come. That necessary condition, Jesus declares, is that it has been granted to him by the Father. Nowhere will you find in Scripture, come make decisions. You see it all the time. What do you see? You see unscriptural altar calls. What do you hear? Folks, every church you go to, anybody want to make a decision? Now go ahead and close your eyes. And I'm looking around the room right now. Anybody want to go ahead and make the decision for living for Christ? By the way, Franklin Graham and Billy Graham, they were the ones that really ushered in a lot of this unscriptural nonsense. But isn't it interesting? I'll see these guys all over the place. I got my eyes open. I see that hand. I see that hand. And then they'll go around. I see that hand. You want to make a decision for Jesus Christ? And then they pray a prayer that has nothing to do with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because that is the message. And then what happens is a week later, they're gone and they're trying to figure out where they went. Well, they're preaching man's way and they expect God's results. Hey, look at me. Ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. Okay? When your will is God's will, you will have your will. But I am here to tell you, friends, that there is no such thing as free will. You have a free will to milk your cows and to clean out the pig pens. That's what you have a free will to do, in the sense of putting it into the categorization as to what you want to make out of it. But when you're born of the Spirit of God, you care about the things of the Spirit of God, and that is men. That is the jewel, man, in seeking and saving that which is lost. If you have no desire, you can rest assured you're not saved, my friends. Rest assured. I did this show today in response to somebody that had brought up free will last week. So I hope that I scripturally answered it well enough for you to get your mind around it. I want to say to that, and again, look at me. The grace of God is his hold on you, not your hold on him. And once he gets a hold of you, you're going to get a hold of him. It's that simple. The grace of God, it's not your grip upon him, it's his grip upon you. And I wish people would understand that. And when you're born of the Spirit of God, that's all you have to do. Like Martin Luther's, ask people, what do you want to do with your time? What do you want to do with your resources? Do you have a care for the lost? Do you have a care for trusting the Lord the way that the Lord demands that we do? Absolutely. Listen, whatever the Lord did for the last generations, up and coming, hey, we have a cloud of witnesses. They're in heaven now. You know what? They did their part, and the Lord answered, and those are the things that we're talking about. But the bottom line is we have an opportunity right now too. So what are we doing with the time that's allotted? Because we have that dash that we have to fill in. And the only one that can fill that in the way that it needs to be filled in is him. So call out to him today. Again, the message is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Read Acts 20, verse 21, Hebrews 12, 2. If you want an example, go to Mark 10, start in verse 17, go to John 8, and put your faith in Christ. Okay? Because it comes from him. It's not man-made. It's not carnal faith. It's what he gives you to do the impossible in his name, and by his faith and by his grace, because of his mercy. Love you by what we do. Can I, you know, one more thing. I was just thinking of Kelly right now. When I brought up Psalm 9:15, okay, that answers a lot of the objections you might have. But I want to say this as well. Also keep in mind that you brought up Judas. I was thinking too, and I didn't answer it when I had you on the phone. But also remember that the Lord raised up Pharaoh to show his power in him. You can rest assured Pharaoh's not in heaven right now. Okay, so he was raised up by God for the very purpose that he was going to bring the judgments from heaven upon his head through the children of Israel at Moses' leading by the Spirit of God. Cool? Love you by what we do, and we'll talk to you in 23. See ya.